What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that was quite the interesting weekend of football, to say the least. I mean, we had some insane blowouts. We also had some insane games that were back and forth that really actually mattered for playoff position. And then we even had some record breakers along the way as well. So let's get right into it with the three Saturday games that we had. They were pretty much, one was an ass kicking, one was a back and forth crazy affair, and the other one was crazy, but it was low scoring. So the first one was the Los Angeles Chargers at the New England Patriots, and the Chargers just took it to the Patriots. It was never close at any point in time. It was all Chargers all day. The Chargers got the win 40-7. Justin Herbert went 26 for 38. 281 yards and three touchdowns. They also got J.K. Dobbins back at running back, which I think really helped them offensively. I mean, they were playing the terrible-ass Patriots, but even so, their offense really hasn't looked the same since Dobbins went down, and so now they're getting, not only did they get him back for this game, but they're getting him back for a nice little playoff run because they were able to clinch a playoff spot here, but Dobbins did come back, and he had 76 yards of the ground and a touchdown. And then, of course, the wide receiver, Ladd McConkey. He is their rookie, and he seems to be getting better as the season wears on. He had 94 yards and two touchdowns, and this Chargers team clinched a playoff spot, and they are headed to the postseason. Then the second game on Saturday, which ended up being one of the best games of the weekend overall, the Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals won in overtime, 30-24, but it was a back-and-forth battle from the first quarter. I mean, it was the Broncos score, Cincy scores, Broncos score, and it was tied up at certain points. It was just so crazy, and then it also had those kind of plays where it looked like the Bengals blew it. You know, they got in the red zone, and it just kind of felt like they blew it, and they were able to get in field goal position, but their field goal kicker straight up just doinks it right off the field goal posts, and it just kind of feels like, oh God, there goes the game for them. But then they're able to get the Broncos on a three and out, and then the Bengals are just able to drive down the field, and Joe Burrow to T. Higgins for the game-winning touchdown. It was just crazy to watch, but Joe Burrow having an insane season, but keeping this team in the playoff hunt, and if this team makes the playoffs, this is going to be a crazy team to watch. Defensively, there's a lot of issues, but offensively, there are zero issues. Burrow, 39 for 49, 412 yards and three touchdowns. T. Higgins, 131 yards and three touchdowns. And then, of course, Ja'Marr Chase, he didn't have the type of game that Higgins had, but we all know that Ja'Marr Chase is capable of that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here this last week for the Bengals. Not only do they need the win, but they also need a couple of losses from some other teams as well. But big, big win for the Bengals there over the Broncos, who still, of course, have a shot at that last wild card spot. And then rounding out the Saturday games, we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. This ended up being a low-scoring affair and an extremely weird game, but the Rams got the win 13-9 off of a crazy interception as well. I mean, the Cardinals, they actually were driving a last-ditch affair to just get down in scoring range. They actually got in field goal position, but since they were down 13-9, they obviously needed the touchdown. And Kyler Murray does what Kyler Murray does. Throws the red zone interception at the end of the game. And it was a crazy interception, too, because it looked like it was almost bobbled, and then he didn't catch it, but no, he did, and it was a great game-sealing, game-changing play for the Rams, and that was able to keep them in the playoff hunt, and they actually ended up winning their division yesterday with what happened during Sunday's games. Then Saturday, we had the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. And this was an absolutely atrocious game. The Eagles smashed my Cowboys 41-7. It was a terrible-ass game. Actually, was decent from the Cowboys on the first couple of drives, and then Cooper Rush threw the, he first started out the game with the interception, a pick six, and that sucked. But then it started to look like they were getting things going. But, no, it was just turnover central. And, I mean, I know there was nothing really for the Cowboys to play for in general, but there was a big thing that happened in this game. Saquon Barkley, he rushed for 167 yards in this game, but more importantly, he became the ninth player in the history of the league to rush for over 2,000 yards. Next week, he has the opportunity to beat the all-time record for the most rushing yards in a season by Eric Dickerson. It's like 20, he's got 2,134 yards, something like that, in that area. So Barkley only needs about 100 yards to pass the record. But the Eagles have clinched the playoff spot, so who knows if he's even going to play, if he does play, how long is he going to play for? I kind of feel like they're going to feel it out and just let it go, because not only does he have an opportunity to eclipse the 2,000 yard mark and have the all-time season mark for most rushing yards in a season, but he would also be able to do it against his old team, the New York Giants, the team that actually went with Daniel Jones over Saquon, which was obviously one of the biggest mistakes in the history of their organization. It would be absolutely hilarious to see him do that against the Giants, but who knows if it's going to happen, because they've clinched a playoff spot and there's almost no reason to really start Barkley. But like I said, I kind of feel like they're going to start him, but I feel like if he kind of has like a slow game, they're going to sit him down. But I wouldn't be shocked if they at least start him to just kind of see how the game goes. Then we had another ass kicking. It was the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills dominated the Jets 40-14. Josh Allen, 16 for 27, 182 yards, two touchdowns. Cook had 53 yards and a touchdown. And it just was an absolute overall domination by the Bills. The Bills have now secured the number 2 overall seed in the playoffs, and they're basically just ready for the postseason. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. The Raiders got the win 25-10 in the Who Cares Bowl, because both of these teams are done for the season. They both are basically on their backups. But hey, good game from the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell, 20 for 35, 242 yards, two touchdowns. Brock Bowers, he their rookie tight end, he actually he broke the rookie record for the most receiving yards for a rookie. I didn't write it down, but he broke a record. So at least they have a good offensive weapon, but the Raiders have a lot of holes to fill. So we'll see what goes on with this team, but hey, they got to win. Then a total shocker of the day ended up being the Indianapolis Colts at the New York Giants. The Giants not only won this game, but they were dominating this game. And every time it kind of felt like the Colts were creeping up and ready to take the lead, the Giants just ran away with it. Literally, they got the win 45-33. Joe Flacco ended up starting at quarterback for the Colts because Anthony Richardson had some injuries to deal with. But the Giants, man, Malik Nabers, 171 yards, two touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor, though, for the Colts on the ground, he also had a phenomenal day, 125 yards and two touchdowns. But that officially kicked the Colts out of the playoffs and also officially kicked the New York Giants out of the number one draft position. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was another obliteration. The Buccaneers just killed the Panthers 48-14. Baker Mayfield just continues his reign of domination throughout the season. 27 for 32, 359 yards and five touchdowns. Yes, five touchdowns. Bucky Irving had 113 yards on the ground. And it was just a big day for the Buccaneers, and they stay in the playoff hunt as well. They actually have their division lead right now, staving off the Falcons, and we'll see what they've got, but they really needed that win. But Baker Mayfield, man, if there's one thing you could say about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, it is Baker Mayfield is on some and playing a great game. He's just having a great year, and it's just so much fun to watch, and he is just killing it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if they make the playoffs. That dude's probably going to fuck up somebody's day, I kind of feel like, because that's it. And it's not just Baker, but it's just the confidence level that he's playing at right now and just the way he really dictates his offense. It's just something else, and he's just really killing it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs, because I would not be surprised if the Buccaneers get in and they shit on somebody's day in the first round. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars, another Who Cares Bowl. The Jaguars got the win 20-13 in a uneventful game from two terrible-ass teams. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns, another basically Who Cares Bowl. I mean, the Dolphins are still in it, but chances are they're probably not going to get there. They need a lot of things to fall their way to make the playoffs, but they did get the win 20-3. As a matter of fact, Tua Tagovailoa didn't even play. He has a couple injuries he's nursing as well, but his backup quarterback Huntley came in. He had 22. He went 22 for 26, 225 yards and a touchdown. He also had 52 yards on the ground rushing and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill also added in 105 yards, and it was just all Dolphins all day. Then, a crazy game of the day, the Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings. Looked like it was going to be all Vikings all day, but then the Packers really started to get it going in the second half and just weren't able to finish it off, and it really is just because they got down and so far behind at the beginning of the game that it really cost them. That's also what happened to them a few weeks ago when they played the Detroit Lions. They were down, and then they started to make a furious comeback, but that being down so early in the game is what really cost them, and that's what also happened to them in this game as well. The Vikings got the win 27-25. Sam Darnold, this guy is just killing it this year as well. He is just ripping apart every defense, and he looks ready for these playoffs. He went 33 for 43, 377 yards and 3 touchdowns, and eclipsed 4,000 yards on the season. So he is having a phenomenal year. Jefferson added in 92 yards through the air. And then on the opposite side of the field for the Packers, Josh Jacobs continues his amazing season as well with 69 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And he was really what got them going in the second half. So the Packers really need to get it going in the first half of some of these games rather than falling behind, because we're hitting the playoffs here. And there's some potential. They could be going up against the Vikings yet again. And falling behind and then not able to make the comeback, or just falling short by a couple of points like they did in this one. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup also ended up being a pretty crazy game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Washington Commanders. This one went into overtime, and the Commanders were able to just, I mean, it started out looking like the Falcons were actually going to take this game, but the second half started and the Commanders did what they did. They commanded the game, and Jaden Daniels, man, he just really took it over. He made the runs when he needed to run. He made some great passes when he needed to do that, but especially in this overtime drive, he took this team down the field, and he does it in a fearless manner. For a rookie, he looks really fantastic on these comeback drives, so it's going to be interesting to see how this guy's career progresses on, because if this is what he looks like as a rookie, imagine what he's going to look like as a seasoned vet. But the Commanders were able to get the win in overtime, 30-24. Jaden Daniels, 24 for 36, 227 yards and 3 touchdowns. Then on the ground, he also added in 127 yards rushing. Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback, this was his second game for the Atlanta Falcons starting, and he actually didn't look bad at all. I mean, he has obviously some things he needs to clean up, but the dude has a cannon of an arm and really took care of some business, especially in the first half of this game. But the Falcons, they got the loss, and so they lost a grip on their division, and now they're going to really need some help, starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers loss next week to get into the playoffs. And then we have a Monday Night Football matchup tonight. Doesn't really count for anything. It's the Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Lions are a 3.5-point favorite. The Lions are actually not really even playing for anything either. It's actually next week. They play the Vikings for the division and the number one seed. So regardless of what happens tonight, it doesn't even matter. So I wouldn't be shocked if we actually start to see some of their backups come in. I do feel like they're actually going to start all their starters, but then maybe in the second half, or hell, even if they start, this game just gets out of hand, they start putting in their backups. The Niners, of course, are out of it. They're just playing for pride, and I assume they're still going to be playing hard as they normally do, but the Detroit Lions are obviously, to me, one of the better teams in the league, and regardless of backups playing or not, I mean, hell, their team has been mostly backups at this point, so it's not really going to be much of a difference except on the offensive side of the ball. But I do have the Detroit Lions winning this one 31-20. And Simon also has the Lions winning this one 28-21. All right. And now, later this week, actually tomorrow, Tuesday, begins the college football playoff quarterfinals. And then Wednesday, New Year's Day, we have a triple header for the quarterfinals. So we do have a couple of teams that I believe don't belong here. So I think we're going to weed out a couple of more. But who knows? Maybe we'll get some upsets along the way. But let's start off with the first matchup in the college football playoff quarterfinals. Tomorrow, we have Penn State versus Boise State. Right now, Penn State is a 10.5-point favorite. So as I said, one of these teams doesn't belong, and that would be Boise State. They have had a fantastic year so far, but do they actually stack up well against the big boys? We shall see. But Penn State, I feel like it's a tough task. To be going up against Penn State's defense is amazing. And offensively, they can get going as well, but it's really this defense. They can score. Not only can they get turnovers, but they can score. That's how they started out the last game. Two touchdowns right off the bat due to interceptions. So Boise State's really got to hold on to the ball. But I just think this Penn State defense is just too stout, too good, and the offense is as well. And I just don't think Boise State's ready to play against the big boys, at least at this level. And so I have Penn State winning that one 34-21. Then the first matchup on the New Year's Day quarterfinals matchups, we have my Texas Longhorns versus Arizona State. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns. My Longhorns are a 12.5-point favorite right now. Oh, by the way, Arizona State to me is one of those teams that does not belong. And I think we will find that out, especially because it's kind of funny. Some of the Arizona State players are actually talking a lot of shit right now, and I'm just loving it because Texas is not biting. They're actually staying quiet, and that's exactly what I want to see from my team. Quinn Ewers, actually, he looked pretty solid in the last matchup, so I'm not really actually worried about him heading into this one. Defense, as I said, was going to be the deciding factor, and they killed it in the last matchup. I expect them to do the same in this one. And we also get some help back at the receiver position. Our receiver, Bond, he is going to be back, so we get some help there as well. And I don't think that this is going to be an ass-kicking by any means. As a matter of fact, I do think it's going to be a pretty close matchup, but I think Texas is going to have the upper hand for the most part, and I've got Texas winning, of course, 38-30. Then the second game on Wednesday at the quarterfinals is Ohio State versus Oregon. Right now, Ohio State is a 2.5-point favorite. This is going to be a battle. Oregon's been number one for quite some time. They've been number one for the last like two-ish months. They've pretty much been number one for a good chunk of this season, especially the second half of the season. They've been flying high offensively, but when they get put to the test, they get put to the test. When they play these more difficult matchups, it's not so easy for them, and that's how I feel about this one. While Ohio State has also had their down moments in this throughout this season, I don't think this is going to be one. I think this is going to be a battle between two really good teams, but I think Ohio State is going to get the better of Oregon in this one, and I've got Ohio State winning a close matchup 41-40, maybe even like a walk-off field goal or a game-winning drive or something of that nature. I think is going to come from that matchup. And then rounding out the college football quarterfinals, we have Notre Dame versus Georgia. Right now, Georgia is a 1.5-point favorite. They will not have their starting quarterback. He was injured in the matchup against the Texas Longhorns. He is going to have elbow surgery, and he is moving on to the NFL draft. To me, these are two very good teams, but Notre Dame has just always been that team that just chokes when they get to this. And I know I said that about them in the last matchup, but I'm not surprised that they got the win just because they weren't playing a really heavy hitter opponent. But Georgia is a heavy hitter opponent. I mean, Georgia's been one of the top teams in college football for a few years now. Their defense is stout, and I think that's what's really actually going to be what gets them the win in this one is their defense. Because even though they're missing their quarterback, that's really not as big of a deal in college football as it is in the pros. Because you usually have a backup who's pretty capable or who is at least going to be coming up in the reins at some point to take over that starting role. So you usually have a pretty capable guy who's been getting some reps in practice, and especially with what happened with Georgia, they've known about this injury for a minute. So it's not like this is some new news to them. But I do think Georgia's defense is going to be why they get this win. And I've got Georgia winning this one 28-20. Now let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for the week. I will say, before we get into the power rankings, let's talk about a team that is not in the power rankings. That would be the team that fired their coach already, Mike Brown, the coach of the Sacramento Kings. He was fired just a couple days ago. He won the coach of the year just 2 years ago, and the Kings already fired him. We're not even halfway through the season. So that was a very odd move by the Kings, but that's what happens when you are a very desperate team. Moving on to teams that are not desperate, at least for now they're not desperate. So let's start off with number one. We do have us a new number one. As a matter of fact, we have us a new number one and two this week. Beginning with number one, the Cleveland Cavaliers have moved their way back up into the top spot. They're 27-4 on the season, 9-1 in their last 10 games, and on a 6-game winning streak right now. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets, and they're really just trucking through everybody. This team is really good, and they're actually, you know, their problem over the last couple of seasons has been defense. You know, they really haven't been had any issues scoring. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's been out of his mind. It's really just been the defensive side of things. But this year, that is not an issue for them. They are actually competing with the big dogs. They're playing well against good teams, against bad teams. And they're getting close wins. They're blowing people out. They are just really on fire right now and playing great basketball. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Oklahoma City Thunder, overall record of 26-5. This team is on an 11-game winning streak right now. This is the longest streak in the NBA currently. This past week, they got wins over the Washington Wizards, the Indiana Pacers, the Charlotte Hornets, almost called them the Bobcats, and the Memphis Grizzlies. And Oklahoma City, they are not having any issues overcoming the injuries. I mean, they keep having, it just kind of feels like the injuries keep coming, but SGA keeps getting better as the season wears on. And it kind of feels like every time you feel like Oklahoma City's gonna start to stumble, they just get better and they just get stronger as the season wears on. And they just look really damn good right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings is the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 23-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, which is why they've taken a little bit of a tumble in the power rankings. Although I will still say they are one of the top teams in the league. It's just right now they're going through a little bit of a struggle. This past week, they lost to the Orlando Magic and lost to the Philadelphia 76ers, got a win over the Indiana Pacers, and then lost in the Indiana Pacers. So, I mean, they're not only are they 5-5 in their last 10 games, but this past week, they lost 3 out of 4. So it's just not a good couple of weeks here for the Celtics, but they're still one of the top teams. I don't really think there's any worries about them. It's just when you have an 82-game season, you're bound to have down moments. And right now, that would be a down moment for the Boston Celtics. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings is the New York Knicks. Overall record of 22-10. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they are on a 7-game winning streak right now. This past week, they got wins over the Toronto Raptors, the San Antonio Spurs, the Orlando Magic, and the Washington Wizards. This team is getting better as the season wears on, and I would not be they are right there with the Celtics and the Cavaliers, and I would not be shocked, as a matter of fact, if they overtake Boston or the Cavaliers at the number one position, because they are just, they're rolling. And I've been kind of expecting this from them just because Brunson having a phenomenal year, but Cat is just fitting right in with this team. And I really like what I see from him. Josh Hart is also having a great year. So it's just been a good year for the Knicks. And I just would not be surprised if this team really gets it going and becomes the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 22-11. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Lakers, but got wins over the Toronto Raptors and the New Orleans Pelicans, and then lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is another good defensive team, and they're excellent in the paint as well. That rebounding is not an issue for this team. Zach Edey, he is really fitting in as a rookie. He looks really, really strong and really dominant right now. And then, of course, Ja Morant, he is going off. And this is just a really good team that's gelling right now, and they seem to be getting better as the season wears on. And I don't know, man. It's going to be difficult for anybody to compete with them in the paint. Now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, I look at them as a team that could absolutely compete with them in the paint, but they need to get Chet Holmgren back in order to do so. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Dallas Mavericks, overall record of 20-12. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers and then a loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. They lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then they beat the Phoenix Suns. The only problem with the Mavericks is their injuries, and now, of course, Luka, unfortunately, got injured earlier this week, and he's going to be out for at least a month. It says they're going to be reevaluating him in a month, so we're not even guaranteed that he's going to be coming back in a month. It's going to be he's reevaluated. He suffered a calf injury, and that's obviously a big deal when you play basketball, when you play as hard as Luka does. But that's been the theme of the season so far for the Mavericks. Every time they get a guy back, a guy goes down. But they are still playing well. It's just going to be how well are they going to play for Luka being out for an entire month. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 21-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans, but lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves and lost to the Miami Heat. Got in a big fight as well when they were in the Miami Heat game yesterday, sometime over the weekend they did. But Houston, they're another team that's kind of streaking. You know, they started off the season really, really hot. But right now, they seem to be getting exposed offensively. And that's kind of what I think happened again this Miami Heat game, is that Miami just kind of took it to them and showed them, hey, that you got a little bit of growing to do. You're really actually not that good, and you should probably stop feeling yourselves. Not saying that they're a terrible team, but it's just like Houston, I've been hesitant to really crown them a legitimate squad this year because they really haven't shown any consistency yet, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But they're still a good team, and they're still right up there with the rest of the teams in the Western Conference, which says a lot. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that I feel is similar to the Houston Rockets, and that is the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 20-14. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Boston Celtics, but lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then lost to the New York Knicks, and then they beat the Brooklyn Nets. The Orlando Magic, though, I kind of feel the same about them as I do Houston, is they... I don't really want to crown them yet. I still think they have their issues, and their injuries are a huge, huge issue. They're another team where it's like they get a guy back, somebody else gets injured. And they're not just those injuries for like a week or two. It's those debilitating injuries where they've already lost guys for the season, and they've already lost guys for like a month and 2 months and 3 months. So I feel like the Magic at some point are probably going to fall off. But right now they're still hanging on for dear life, still playing good basketball, and still in my top 10. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 18-13. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons, which pissed me off, and then got wins over the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. They've been a very streaky team themselves, but they're actually playing pretty well right now. I do like what I'm seeing from them at the three-point line. Unfortunately, Anthony Davis, he's been kind of streaky as well, and that's what I think is a big factor as to what Wood is playing into this, the way the Lakers are playing right now is because Anthony Davis is not playing consistent basketball. But they did make a trade this week. They actually ended up trading D'Angelo Russell for Dorian Finney-Smith of the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know how much of a difference this is going to make. I do know that over the last couple of years, D'Angelo Russell, you know, he's had his moments with the Lakers, but you could just tell he doesn't fit in. I don't know if it's the coaching or if it's LeBron in general. My guess it would be LeBron simply because we've had a couple of different coaches with D'Angelo Russell, and it doesn't work out either way, and LeBron's the key factor there. So my guess is he just doesn't work well with LeBron, so that's kind of the thing here. And, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, he's actually having a pretty solid year with the Brooklyn Nets, so I think this just adds a little bit. But the Lakers really need help actually on the defensive side of the ball more than the offensive side. But I do like this trade, and hopefully it bolsters us a bit, especially because we are in a stacked conference and a stacked division as well. I mean, you got the Warriors, you got the Clippers, and the Lakers, and you just got a bunch of teams stacked on top of each other right now. And the Suns as well, that's another team where these are all just a bunch of teams that are just beating each other up. And somebody's got to win the division, except for the Kings, because they're the only ones not really. I mean, they're still kind of in it, but obviously it's kind of sounded like they're going to trade away De'Aaron Fox at some point, and that I just think is a really stupid move. But hey, that's the Sacramento Kings for you. But anyway, we're talking about the Lakers. And, you know, I like the trade that they made, but I still think they need to make another move for a defensive player. But this is a good move just because you could tell D'Angelo Russell has not been fitting in for quite some time. You could tell they've been frustrated with him, I'd say at least since the second half of last year and probably even before then. So it just kind of feels like this gets rid of a little bit of a headache that they've had sitting on the bench for a while now. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 16-14. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Chicago Bulls, but then lost to the Chicago Bulls, and then also lost to the Brooklyn Nets. Right now, the Bucks still playing solid basketball. It's just they're up and down right now. They also did rest Giannis and Dame a couple of times in some of these games. So it's nothing really major for the Bucks, but they are kind of in a technical slump, if you will, after the just the barreling through the NBA Cup and really actually just having a terrible start to the season, but then really getting it going now. But now they kind of feel like they're slumping just a bit right now, but not too terribly where I'm gonna completely count them out of anything. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.